The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer. Turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza, real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
This is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Don't say Davis is our quarterback just to, you know, trigger up old memories. Just maybe just say I'm part of Mills Mafia.
What old memories? I have a hard time thinking of about some of the things I've said in the past.
Rex is our quarterback.
Has there been any moments where you've looked back and you've kind of maybe chuckled a little? Like, wow, things haven't really gone well for the Bears since I left.
Oh, no. I can't say that's the case.
I could say that. I could say the case. I can absolutely say that's the case.
You know, I had a disagreement on where our program was when I was removed from my job there with the Bears. I'll acknowledge that. You know, most of the time you lead a team to 10 wins, you don't get fired. Life happens that way. Seemed like to me in my career, every time seemed like it was a setback, it's really been a setup, something bigger and better. And I'm a guy from Texas, product of Texas high school football. So every stop or every job that I had that it didn't end well, it led me to, as I see it, you know, the perfect job for me of coaching the Houston Texans.
There you go, Lovie Smith, on Pardon My Take.
He has such a soothing voice. I'm just saying, like, you have whatever opinion you want of him as a coach. Like, when he talks, you know, like a soothing voice. You're looking at me crazy.
Like,
I don't know why.
Like a great uncle. You wanted to read you a bedtime story.
Yes.
I mean, talking football, he usually doesn't let you in. And that was as close as he gave to letting you in about, you know, most guys don't get fired with 10 wins. He's not the only one. Like, Joe Manning got let go after winning a World Series here. After a pretty good season and good five-year run. We've seen it more time. Like, I could, a lot of people still fight the fight that Lovie got the shaft. I don't. I was never the biggest fan. I have tangible reasons for why I don't believe that it was just simply for being a hater. I believe that he never got the offensive coordinator's job right, and he was on Mike Tice at the end there, who was awful. And they needed someone to have Jay in better hands. Before that was Martz. We just went through the Martz and Greg Olson stuff. The more power Lovie got, the worse the Bears were. When they drafted Cedric Benson, when they had Thomas Jones, word is that was a Lovie Smith pick. Like, there are reasons. It's not because I didn't like Lovie personally or anything like that. There are reasons why I just never loved Lovie Smith as a head coach.
Well, and I think the reason why they moved on from him is because they failed to get to the postseason. Like, they went to the postseason once in his last, 6 years?
Yeah, and that was in the 2010 season.
Yeah.
So they were on top of the mountain in 2006 at the Super Bowl. 2007, they didn't make the postseason.
7-9. They were 7-9 in 2007.
2008, they didn't make the postseason.
They were 9-7.
2009, they didn't make the postseason.
7-9.
Now they go to the NFC Championship game in 10.
11-5.
And then 11-12, they don't make the postseason.
2011, they were 8-8. And in 2012, they were 10-6. And you have much better memory than I. Didn't that
7-3?
Yeah,
or they were 7-1. Excuse me, that year,
and then ended up 10-6.
Right. So they go. What is that? 3-7. The rest of the what is that? What's the math here?
7-1. That's 8 games.
3-5. They go the rest of the way.
Yeah. So, and I think the indictment was that they'd only been to the postseason once in 6 years.
Right. And like I just mentioned, the offensive
had a good run though. I mean, like
he had a good, and especially when you compare it.
Yeah,
like there's been some really bad train wrecks. Like you were hoping to get better, but it wasn't, and they didn't put Phil Emery in a good position to begin with either, and he wasn't the right hire. So we know the systemic issues for the Bears and everything like that. But Lovie comes back. How do you feel about Lovie, if you want to weigh in on that? 332-3776. How do you feel about this game? Right now, this is what I've got going on the poll question. A lot of people are very pro-Bears to win this game, Waddle, even after the Green Bay game. I've got a poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. Simply put, who wins Bears versus Texans at Soldier Field on Sunday? Have you seen how it's going?
I have not seen it.
1,500 votes in?
I would suggest to you 70% say they're going to win.
80.5% say they're going to win. So more than three quarters of our audience think the Bears are bouncing back with a win. They'll start the year 2-1.
I liked Courtney's prediction of 2017 Bears. That seems about right to me. I just don't know that they can get away from anybody at this point just because of some of their offensive limitations. But with that in mind, look, I do expect them to make progress on offense. It'll look better. As you mentioned a bunch early this week, the Texas defense under Lovie Smith, they bend, they don't break. They give up 434 yards per game, but only 18 points per game. Small sample size, only two games. They allow 270 yards per game through the air, 164 on the ground. I don't expect the Bears to throw it for 77 yards, which is their average so far. I believe that they'll throw it for significantly more than that. I don't know if I'm ready to buy that, they're just a hair away from exploding on offense. I think they'll be better. And Luke Getsy was defending some of the things that they've done. And like he said, look, we've only had 41 plays in this game. Well, that's a product of you guys being really bad on third down, not extending drives.
Going three and out.
And going
and
three and out quite a bit. You realize they have 26 first downs on the season in two games. Five of them. First downs, not third down conversions. First downs. Five of them have come via the penalty. So 20% of all their first downs through 2 weeks are the result of another team's mistakes. They're 6 of 21 on third down conversions. So, listen, if you want to have more plays and the opportunity to call more plays, then your team's going to have to be more efficient throughout the course of the game.
Yep.
Which I think they will be against the Houston Texans. But I'm going to have to see it to believe it with regard to, hey, this offense is ready to score 25 or 30 points. Not there yet.
312-332-3776. If you want to talk some Bears or anything on your mind on this Friday, Andrew and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm calling in today because I got a few things on my mind when it comes to quarterbacking in the NFL. We've all grown up and watched quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Justin Herbert, now Mahomes. All these guys have something in common. They could throw the football. So what I'm so much concerned about watching Justin Fields, and I understand, the excuses, the offense is not capable of doing that and throwing the football. But all the other quarterbacks, even when they were rookies, they aired it out. So I'm a little concerned that, he might not be able to do something like that, just like Mitch couldn't do it either. Mitch didn't throw the football or anything like that. I'm excited for the game. I think we're going to win. But, Mr. Waddle, just answer my question about the quarterbacking and all the guys airing it out. Go Bears.
Well, listen, I share, Andrew, some of the same concerns. I think we've echoed that over the course of the last 2 weeks. I don't put it all on him. He doesn't have a ton of help on the flank. The protection isn't great. But I'm also not going to shy away from saying, hey, look, here's an example of good protection, wide open receiver, and he didn't make the throw. Like, there's a lot of blame to go around for this group. There's a lot of growth, probably better. There's a lot of growth in a lot of areas. He's got to, first step is to make your layups. And so far through two games, they haven't hit their layups at a high enough clip or at a high enough percentage. That's going to have to improve. There's no question about that.
And then his point was also a point that you've made all week is you don't want Justin to throw it 40 times a game.
I don't need that.
But you want a game plan where he's asking to air it out, even if they may. He was alluding to like Peyton Manning, who threw the 27 interceptions or whatever it was his rookie year. That the coaches let them live with some of the mistakes.
Well, that's the only way you learn. You got to go through this. You got to get the reps. The reps in practice are one thing. To do it in a live game, in a live environment, is an entirely different thing. So, I think we've been critical of the whole production, but not to the point where we're all like we've thrown in the towel.
Right.
It's too early.
Raul in Logan Square, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Raul?
What's up, guys, man? Just want to talk about Lovie Smith. You know, it's good to face him. I'm not too worried because he don't got Urlacher. He don't got a Briggs on his squad. He don't got no Devin Hester field position game. You know, Lovie was all right. You know, it was defense was, you know, bend but don't break. But he had outstanding ball hawks, you know. But other than that, I'm still looking forward to the game. I'm going to be over there with my boys getting drunk. Like from 7 o'clock, I'm going to have an 8-ball, man. I'm fucking happy, man. I can't wait.
Be careful. You know, enjoy responsibility.
Did he drop that? Okay.
He's going to have an 8-ball?
No.
We dumped that.
Yeah, he said something a little worse.
Otherwise, I would ask him some questions, but he dropped something in there.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear that.
And then, I thought maybe I got a little trigger happy, but yeah. Yeah.
Better safe than sorry, yeah.
He's going to be,
Well, come on. We want to welcome you in, but, you got to, there's rules on the, you walk in the door, there's rules.
You didn't hear that?
I did not.
Lawrence on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lawrence?
Man, hey, guys, I'm a long-time listener. This is my first time calling. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making
question.
It.
So, as far as with Lovie, with the numbers that you just gave on Lovie, I just kind of want your opinion. Maybe it's a two-part question. It might be the same answer. Who's been the most successful coach, and who's your favorite Bears coach? I mean, since the Dicka and the Ryan days.
Yeah, it's Lovie. I mean,
it has to be Lovie.
Yeah, I mean, right. We're dealing with a really bad group that we're putting around him, and he was good. The run was good, but what I always argued with people, to me, it was time. It just was time to improve it in a better way, and like the Bears failed to do, they don't improve their quarterback whenever they draft a new quarterback. They haven't improved their general manager when they replaced Jerry Angelo. They don't get a better coach when they replaced Lovie Smith. They continue to fail, and I'm hoping
the failure ends now. Let me ask you a question. Did you want the Matt Nagy era to continue?
No.
They've gone to the postseason 2 of 4 years with him. You can look at the record, but your eyes also tell you, what you need to know as well.
Right. And it's just with the numbers that you guys were given, it just seemed like a dislike. I could be wrong, but it just seemed like a dislike for Lovie. So I was like, well, if you guys didn't like Lovie, well, who did you like,
No, look, I just think that he wasn't the perfect coach, and very few coaches are the perfect coach. Like Waddle said, I think they went to 3 postseasons in the 9 years.
I think so.
3 for 9, Lawrence, ain't great in the NFL. There are a lot of Super Bowl winning coaches who got fired in much less time. I brought up Joe Maddon on the North Side, who only got 5 years, won a World Series, went to the postseason nearly every year, but they thought, hey, it was time to move on and they weren't going to renew his contract. Ozzie Guillen got traded after winning a World Series on the South Side You know what I mean?
I definitely get what you're saying. And those numbers are ugly, but whose numbers are better? Have we had anybody since, the early 80s Bears? Had a coach with better playoff record, better playoff numbers?
Let me give you another comp. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is statistically the greatest quarterback of the modern era for the Chicago Bears. Would you say Jay was a great quarterback?
No, he's not. I 100% agree with you.
But when you play your game and you compare him to Orton and you compare him to Mitch and you compare him to some of the others, you're like, oh, he's the best. But that doesn't make him great.
Yeah. Agree. Thanks for taking the call, guys. Yeah,
you got it. Thanks, Lawrence.
Right. It's like Lovie had a good run.
He had a
nice run, but yeah. I don't think either of them were over-the-top great.
No, I don't think, but people get very defensive on both sides of this conversation. Nobody's telling you Lovie was a bad coach. I think we've always said Lovie had a good run. He had gone to the postseason once in the final 6 years of his time here.
3 times total.
I understand why they made a decision to go in a different direction.
Donnie's got a good point here. If he's going to go the way I think he's going to go. Donnie in Evanston, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, great talking to you guys. Hey, listen, man, I remember so clearly the very first press conference to Lovie. Hey, what's first on the agenda? And he says it's to beat the Packers. And I always thought at that time, I says, man, I wish it should be to win the Super Bowl. You know, if you beat the Packers and lose the Super Bowl, what's the difference? If you lose 2 to the Packers and win the Super Bowl, what's better? That's my point, fellas.
Hey, Donnie, thanks.
Yeah, I'm
pretty passionate about this. Yeah. I always felt that Lovey was simply laying out the priorities in the order that you can achieve it.
Yeah.
You can't win a Super Bowl first. First, you have to beat the Packers. Second, you have to win the division. Third, you win the Super Bowl. And I think he was always just laying it out. I give Lovey credit that he made that a priority. And not only did he make it a priority, but for most of the times with Favre at the end, they were able to beat the Packers.
Yeah, I have no problem with how he presented all that. I think at the end of the day, it's coach speak as well. You know, I mean, if it revs you up and it makes you feel warm and fuzzy, fantastic.
But I'm not certainly going to rip him because he said beat the Packers either. First. No. Those were three priorities, and I think he was going in chronological order. You get to face the Packers first, then you get to win the division. You know, you can't win the division without playing any games.
At the end of the day, if he would have said nothing of the sort, but he went to the playoffs every year and won two Super Bowls, we wouldn't give a rat's ass. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy, but at the end of the day, what does it really matter?
Right, right. One of our good friends, and I want to continue to take your calls. Load them up, 312-332-3776. Pat Tomasulo does great work on the WGN Morning News. He's also fantastic, a stand-up comedian, and they also have a great cause going tomorrow. It's presented by Northwestern Medicine, who I'm very, very close with as well, along with Horizon Therapeutics in the Village of Rosemont. It's the Pat Tomasulo and Friends 8th Annual Laugh Your Face Off. Hi, Pat.
What are you talking about? This is Patty from Cicero. I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about. This Eberflus guy, he didn't say nothing about the Packers in his introductory press conference, and I got a lot of problems with that.
Patty, don't you believe that it showed last week against the Packers that he didn't set the tone in his press conference? If he would have set the tone, maybe they would have had a better performance.
You're trying to talk over my head now. I said what I said, and I'll hang up and listen for your answers.
Is this your first time you've called the show?
Yeah, long time first timer, guys. I love what you do. Your show is fantastic. It's just you guys are the best.
Are you a stay-at-home dad, or are you off of work right now? What do you do for a living?
I'm retired. Okay. You know, pipe fitter for 15 years, got a full pension, been living off that for a couple of years. You know. How you doing, fellas?
What's going on?
It's so good to talk to you guys.
It's great to talk
good to
you.
Hear your voice.
Neither could we.
I was trying. That was a 20-second bit that I was stretching.
But look, you always make us laugh.
You.
Yeah. Before we get to the nuts and bolts of the event, and I definitely want to promote it and how people could help. Yurko is like the biggest fan of your show. And he was telling us that you were going after Chicago Sports Radio this week. Is this true?
No. I was going after the callers. Like, everybody that was, like all these people, it was the sports radio callers and the social media people going after Justin Fields for saying when he said that, like, of course it hurts us more than it hurts the fans. We're the ones putting in the work. I was like, yeah, okay, that makes complete, perfect sense. Like, you know. Stop stepping in your panties in a wad and getting so upset and calling because he insulted you. Doesn't he? He's not insulting you. He's saying something that's completely true. And I just thought it was like, relax. Just dial it back a little bit.
Okay,
let's not
good.
Turn on the guy after. I know you guys have half a brain. It's, you know, some of the people that are.
Together or both of us?
I can't say the same for some callers. But, you know.
Has some of that stuff been magnified? Because of social media? Like, social media seems to be kind of the reason why this stuff gets out of hand.
Well, I think isn't that what he said, too, is that, you know, he didn't find out about it until he went on his social media and he saw all the mentions. And, God, I can't even fathom the kinds of things that guy, if I were a pro athlete, I would scrub social media from my phone for the entire duration of the season. I couldn't even believe he went on social media and read any of that nonsense. But yeah, of course, it's all magnified by social media.
How many people tweet you after a show? Are there mentions do you stay away from it?
Suck!
it depends, you know, on the day. I got to tell you, I don't know that
the age range of some of our viewers, I don't know that they're very active on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think. But when you hear it is when, like, you know, sometimes, you know, we're writing these scripts at 3:30 in the morning, right? And, like, sometimes, you know, the final score of the game is 5-4, and you know, we put in a typo, and I say 5-3, and it's 6 in the morning. I've been up for 3 hours, and I say it on the air. And that's when they come out of the woodwork. Yeah. You know, don't you know what you're doing? You can't even get a score right. Who hired you? I can do your job. It's like, okay.
Pat, tell us about the event at Park West. I'm sure it's good to be, like, completely back.
Yep.
And tell us about the benefit and what your wife deals with every day.
Oh, God, it's so good to be back. We've done this the last 2 years. We did a fully digital version, and then we did a hybrid last year where we had, like, 150 people there, and we raised a lot of money, but as a performer, it sucked. And this year we have well over 650 people committed already. So it's the event we do for – it's called Lap Your Face Off, and it's to benefit a rare disease my wife Amy suffers from called trigeminal neuralgia. Real quick rundown of what that is. You have a trigeminal nerve on each side of your face, and somehow this nerve gets damaged or diseased, and the result is what doctors classify as the worst pain known to mankind. It's electric shock-like stabbing, burning, clenching, brutal attacks of pain that patients get multiple times a day, sometimes dozens of times a day. Amy gets attacks every day, and there's no cure. There's some surgical options that don't work for a lot of people, and none can guarantee a lifetime of pain relief. They come with a lot of risks. The medications are brutal, terrible side effects. So I actually work with a group called the Facial Pain Research Foundation. We fund our own research for a cure, and then Laugh Your Face Off is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and all the money we raise goes directly to the foundation.
Pat, you guys have raised a ton of money. Are you seeing progress being made?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've been in existence since 2011, so we're pretty young by those standards, and I think anybody who raises money for medical research or who has been sick. I mean, you know, Sylvia, I'm sure you've seen this with cancer research. This stuff moves incredibly slowly. But we've made pretty tremendous progress over the last 10 years. I mean, we're in clinical trials. We're involved there. Right now, there are, I believe, 18 drugs that are in various stages of development at the university or clinical level. We're involved with half of those. We're getting ready to release the findings of our genetic study, which has been a years-long process and has shown some pretty game-changing information, which once that's out there can hopefully lead to some more research that will get us there. But, yeah, we've made progress for sure.
Good. Before we let you go, are you sold out? Can people still get tickets? And if they can't
go,
how can they help out?
Yeah. Yeah, we got about, I can't, last time I counted, there were about 23 seats left, and you can go to the Park West's website. I think that's jamusa.com. Just find us. We're the event for tomorrow night. And then we also have the silent auction, which is just bananas. We've got like 100 prizes on the silent auction. Vacations, every sports team, kicked-in tickets or VIP experiences, concert tickets. You know, lunch with the morning show team, something with Jeff Morrow from the Food Network. And to participate in that, that's open to anybody. You just text LYFO 2022 to 243-725. Or I provided you guys with a QR code, too, that I think you might be sharing out as well on social media.
Yeah, we'll put that
bidding out. Bidding is open until 9 o'clock tomorrow. Tomorrow night, and it's like I said, there are some pretty amazing prizes in there.
All the best to your wife, Pat, and keep up the great work both on television and what you're doing here for this great cause. We appreciate the friendship.
Thank you, Pat.
You got it, fellas. I'll talk to you soon.
There you go, Pat Tomasulo from WGN Morning News.
That's
he's hilarious, yeah. and there's a great event. Coming up next, I did the unthinkable for the football weekend, and I'm going to have Meller judge if I'm completely crazy.
Oh boy.
With a couple of the fantasy football moves I made. You want to talk about Bears and Texans? Do that too. 332-3776.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This, I think, sums up fantasy football. Meller, what time is your fantasy football show on this weekend?
8 a.m. every Sunday morning.
And then you go right into the Bears pregame, right, when they play noon?
I take a little hour hiatus. Deanne and I collect our thoughts, plan the show out, and then from 10 to noon.
Do you go get something to eat? You go to like a diner or anything down here?
No, usually just coffee. Yeah.
This would never happen in real football, but this, and maybe it's the bad move. I think it's the right move. Moves? I have benched. I am in two leagues. And I have benched for this week my starting quarterbacks of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And I am playing Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins. Think about that.
I think that's, based on what the matchup is, I think that that's the right move.
And right, in the way they're, like the starts they're off.
Rodgers and Brady square off. They're both playing against
good defenses
with less than,
every
full complements on the edge.
Every wide receiver on each team is basically either questionable or out.
Right. They're either young, bad, or injured. So, just think about that, though, on paper. That's how different fantasy football is from real football. And those are like two of my least favorite quarterbacks ever, too. Kirk Cousins may be one of my top three least favorite quarterbacks ever. And it's
which is crazy because he didn't play for your team. He never played for your team.
You know how I feel about the money.
You should reserve your... Yeah, well, you should hope everyone gets as much as they can.
I know, but... He's the study of don't just give a guy the most because he's free. He's not an answer.
He was an answer for the Eagles last week.
He was. Yes, he was.
He threw three. He could have thrown five.
And boy, they don't have a running game right now. They're not using their running back like they have in the past.
Well, they did in week one against the Packers.
It's so funny because last night, Alex, who has his own fantasy football team, has the same dilemma, Sylvie. Tom Brady or Kirk Cousins? And I said, start Kirk Cousins.
That's what I did.
I said, everybody's hurt. Mike Evans is suspended. He's got nobody to throw to. And
that's got the potential, that game to be a shootout, too.
Yes,
the Vikings and the Lions. Like, sure. The Lions could score points.
The Lions have scored a lot of points, yes. Viking Scott going right into that. Remember,
we didn't
get to him, and I apologize, Scott, for not getting to you last week, but it was in your best interest because
you were going to spout off about something and then have to call in and apologize.
Yeah, you were going to say that the Vikings are elite.
If they would have won that game, they were playing to get into the elite status, the NFC, yes. But before we get to this, guys, I wanted to say thanks again for that football fest. You guys, a lot of people don't know that, never met you guys, and this goes for all the hosts, how accommodating and polite and courteous you guys are. And that was a great event. I had a couple of my family members with me, and you guys were more than cordial discussions, and you didn't move on to everybody. You got a chance to talk to everybody. So I wanted to pass that along because that goes out to you guys and the rest of all the hosts and everybody.
Nice of you to say. It was an enjoyable opportunity to get to meet several members of your family.
Yeah,
Scott.
He was your two sons were there, and your wife we got to meet as well.
Yes, the one that has to put up with my BS every day for the last 29 years.
At least you admit it.
But anyway, I still want to admit, Tommy, I want you to answer this part of it.
Okay.
That game plan that Ed Donatell had, literally, I was thinking to myself, I've watched football for a long, long time, and I'm thinking, how can you play shell coverage and then not blitz, literally letting Jalen Hurts play pitch and catch for the whole first half? Have you ever been in that situation to where you're thinking at halftime, sitting on the sidelines, what are we doing?
I think you have to choose one route. They were trying to do I know what they were trying to do. They're trying to make the Eagles go the length of the field, and eventually they would make a mistake, but they weren't. They didn't get any pressure on him, nor they were constantly sagging, 7, 8, 9 yards off of all the receivers. It just wasn't an aggressive enough approach from my perspective. And they should have changed it at the very least, earlier in the game. Now, I don't believe the Eagles scored in the second half, But I think that was as much as them, you know, letting go of the rope and exhaling as it was anything. Yeah, I thought that the game plan was very passive defensively early on.
Sean on 355, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say it's a great way to start the weekend by sharing the air with Waddle and Sylvie, so thanks for that.
Well, thank you. We get to share the air with Sean, so that's a good start to the weekend.
Amen to that.
My comment was, when Lovey got fired, if I remember correctly, Jay Cutler was on the Jay Cutler Show with you guys, right?
Yeah,
you were
on,
live on air.
115 Bourbon
and
Street.
When he got the news, didn't he just kind of deflate and just say, you know, oh, my God, I got to go? This, you know, I just thought that that was a good example, and from Urlacher, too, of how much Lovey really did have the pulse of the locker room. He may not have been the most successful coach, but his players would jump through a wall for him.
I think defensively is true. I want to be honest with you and forthright. I think Jay was more, he didn't want to answer any questions about it.
Jay was taking the high
road. Yeah, you did that, right?
Yeah. But, like, guys, like, I wanted to text Urlacher, and I should have. I wanted to text Urlacher and find out if he's rooting for the Bears or for Lovey this weekend. Because I'm willing to bet he's rooting for Lovey. Knowing how what Lovey means to him. Guys like Peanut Tillman.
And maybe how things ended with Urlacher. Remember, right. That did not go so smoothly.
Right, but he's on good terms with the Bears
now.
But I think Lovey to him, I think, is like a father figure, don't you?
I think there's a lot of love for Lovey from Brian and Lance and Alex and, you know, everybody in Peanut and everyone who played for him, Mike Brown. I think there was an appreciation because he put together a defense that fit their skill set and they excelled in it. Like, now, I'm not going to tell you Brian Urlacher is a Hall of Famer because of Lovey's defense. No, Brian's a Hall of Famer because he's a Hall of Fame talent. But that defense allowed those guys, that was kind of a hand-in-hand thing. It was the perfect defense for a lot of those guys, and they excelled in it.
Yep. David on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
What's going on, fellas? Long-time listener, all the way back to 400 days when you gave the height and weight. I wanted to call in and talk about this free pass that this kid is getting. It must be really good to be Justin Fields. You watch the talking heads on the morning shows on NFL Network or ESPN, and it's Matt Nagy's fault. Now it's this coordinator's fault. Now it's the wide receiver's fault. It's always somebody's fault. It's never his for a kid with 15 completions and 2 interceptions. I mean, who's next? When is he going to be held accountable for his play on the field?
David, I would say this is how it is. First of all, I would say, like, I think we spent the better part of this week.
Not you guys. I'm giving you love.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I'm not trying to sound defensive either. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is what I would compare it to, like, in this day and age, like Josh Allen. I'm sure they were killing Josh Allen.
They were.
In the first year and a half.
Yeah. But he got the throw in his first year. So did Trevor Lawrence. So did Davis Mills. So did Mac Jones. So did Joe Burrow, Tua. I mean, even Jalen Hurts got a chance to throw the ball. Maybe they're not throwing the ball because they don't have faith in his ability to throw the ball.
That very well could be true. There's no question, David, that there is a concern. I think that Luke Getsy has protected him with not putting him in that position. Again, you played against the 49ers. You played against the Green Bay Packers, two of the better defenses. I don't necessarily think that everyone's giving him a pass. I think people are collectively looking at the situation where your new staff, we all collectively believe that he wasn't handled correctly last year by the previous staff.
Yes. He barely started.
You don't have a great offensive line. You don't have a great group of receivers. That's not an excuse, but it's part of the equation.
Courtney's summation was good. What did you expect?
Right. No, so, I mean, look, there will be, trust me, that new group up at Hallis Hall is evaluating him.
Oh, yeah, and really unbiased.
Yes.
Because they didn't draft him. Wayne downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Wayne O?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Everything's good.
Good. So, I'm going to have to roll with Lovey and the squeaker over the Bears only because I feel that Houston has a little more talent and the fact they have that their quarterback is just a little more, has a little more, you know, knows a little bit more than Justin at this point. I think that, and Lovey does, you know, teams love to play for Lovey Smith. I think with the Bears, he had a team that went to the Super Bowl. To me, those guys all overachieved because The quarterback was really not good. The wide receivers were just okay, and the tight end was just okay. And they were going up against people like Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark. So I think that I think I'm going to have to roll with Lovey in this one, although I hope I'm wrong.
I don't think it's crazy. Look, I don't think there's anything crazy when it comes to predicting the outcome of a Bears game right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We did take the Bears, and we have a parlay on DraftKings.
Yes.
Make sure you seek this out on the NFL page on DraftKings. Same game parlay. We have the Bears on the money line. We have Darnell Mooney over 49.5 yards. He only has 4 yards so far. This is the game he gets going. And then we have a David Montgomery anytime touchdown. We started the day, it was at plus 575, so play with us. Put a few bucks down, make it fun. Almost 6-1. So I put 10 bucks down, win 60.
I've already made my wager.
I heard Abdallah's parlay today earlier, and he's going to crosstalk with us. And I think two of his legs were almost exactly what we had. We had similar parlays cooking. So we'll talk to Bleck and Abdallah coming up. And don't forget, you can watch us on Twitch. It's all brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And today I'm Bleck and Abdallah. It's All Calls Welcome Friday. Another video came out with Len Casper and I test driving the brand new Toyota Tundra right by Guaranteed Rate Field. I get a big kick out of that because we were talking about best road trip foods in one of these videos. And we talked about the Waffle House, and the Waffle House liked it on Twitter. Got very excited. It's my go-to when we used to travel to Florida when we were kids. Check out the new line of Toyotas today, your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer and Toyota.com. Check out my videos with Len Casper at the ESPN Chicago Facebook page. Make sure you follow us on Instagram.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah. Well. I'm too sexy for this, sir. Too sexy for your girl.
We had a fun show today, that's for sure.
They're all fun.
Should be a great weekend as well.
All weekends are great.
Bleck and Abdallah are in studio with us.
They're always in studio.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you guys are out.
Yeah. We just sit here quietly for the 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Are you fixing the camera again?
Yeah, I'm trying to make it lined up.
All right.
What was it, too low?
Well, no, he wants both cameras on him. Here's the problem. And I'm not, again, I said this on Carmen Yurko, and I'm not taking any shots at anybody. These are just facts of life.
Are you saying that someone is short in the morning and for some reason the camera keeps getting put down?
The guy who sits here, who did a great job yesterday raising a ton of money for a very great cause. But the guy who sits here in the morning from 7 to 10.
Did they switch seats now too?
Is shorter than the guy.
Sylvie, I knew that, and I was in Europe. Come on.
I know that Hoodie's driving.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they actually switched chairs.
You can't drive from the passenger seat.
Okay, all right.
This isn't driver's
ed. We're not in Europe.
Yeah.
So that would just mean the wheel would be on the other side.
I think that he moves it down because...
To make it make him look bigger?
Well, to make them even. To make them... Don't throw stuff at me.
I'm going to start doing the show like this.
Welcome in, buddy.
In a crouch?
In a buddy. Because I would be the only one here at night, right? I'd be the only one here at night doing shows till 8 o'clock, and I'd come in the next day, and Yurko would be cut off from his nose up. And I'm like, well, there's only one person that could have moved it, because there's only one person that's been in here. So that's my detective work.
By the way, we did not mention that
lining it up well.
That
I'm still messing with it over here.
The person you're talking about bounced one yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He called in. I was told by Chris. I was told by all these people. He's a pitcher. He plays in his old man.
That's what makes it even worse.
When I asked him, Sylvie, you heard it. When I asked have you prepared? Have you practiced? He practiced throwing out first pitches by throwing out other first pitches in minor league games.
He pulled that with Abdallah. Abdallah asked him, have you practiced the first pitch? He goes, yeah, I did it at South Bend when I threw out the first pitch there.
And then he bounces it.
He bounced it.
The dude from
Maybe
Ghost.
Maybe his legs were a little bit rubbery from the walk.
The dude from the metal band Ghost was better than he was.
I actually thought that Hendricks was going to pull a groin or something trying to snag it.
I was worried,
too. I thought that Liam was going to get hurt.
They don't really need him now, though.
From the dirt ball that he gave
him? Yeah.
Liam's not closing any games. They don't have a lead.
That's true.
No, yeah, I think the ball actually had grass on it, so it didn't even bounce in the dirt. It bounced in the grass.
It did.
That's a 56-footer.
Wow, 56 feet?
I gave him too much credit. I thought that he would be able to get it done.
You got
to
aim over the catcher. That's the idea. And if you mail it, if you airmail it, that's fine.
They'll tell you standing up on that mound is going to throw you off.
But yeah, that's why you practice.
No,
I know.
Somebody's right. He's a pitcher. This should have been just normal.
I told you yesterday, belly itcher.
Yeah, you're right. That was a great line, too. We used to check. Yeah, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. We want a batter, not a broken ladder.
Which even for young kids is so stupid.
It doesn't make any sense.
Something bad.
I like it.
Doesn't make any sense.
Belly scratcher and broken ladder.
Belly itcher.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, think about
it. Be more creative than that.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Because. Would you rhyme with pitcher there, old man?
Yeah, listen, you
with
don't want to know.
Can back say in a chance.
That a child can say.
Yeah. And not get grounded.
We didn't get grounded back in the day. It was that far back.
You know, Waddle's crew used to just yell, Bach!
That's what we did.
Bach!
I thought you were going to say something like we were too poor to get grounded because we already slept on the ground or something
We slept outside. Yeah.
We slept on the ground.
Yeah. I couldn't be grounded. In the woods.
They were going to take away our TV. We didn't have a TV.
We didn't have no TV.
Before you guys head off to the weekend, did you discuss Gideon's tweet?
No.
Not on the air.
Not on the air. No, we acknowledged that it was sent.
Someone did something to his baseball glove.
I bet they did.
Now, that's
did
a
you
belly.
Say Spider Tech before Spider Tech?
Straight out of Goodwill Hunting.
That's a belly itcher.
Casey Affleck before Casey Affleck.
I could not believe it. We were talking about Waddle urinating on Danny Zetterman intentionally in the bathroom, which I never knew about until today.
Don't remember.
And Gideon says, that's nothing. This guy did this inside my baseball glove.
Did something to my glove.
You see my baseball?
God. Does he still have that glove, you think?
You got to get a new one. You got to ask your mom for a new one, right?
We have so many questions about it.
I want to know. Does it actually help?
At what age did this happen?
I was going to say, what age is some kid?
Should we be doing that to baseball gloves?
He didn't say some kid. He said some guy.
Oh, God.
Some guy watching the baseball game.
Who did that and said, you know, give me Gideon's glove? How does that happen? How does that even happen?
Well, it may happen, but somebody goes to jail. Somebody's going to jail afterwards, right?
All right, boys. All calls
on
welcome,
that
right?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting out of here.
I hope Gideon calls.
Here, give me one of these. I may need it.
I got questions.
Doug Kazarian, thank you. Courtney Cronin, thank you. Great work by Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend and go Bears!